happy day.
Oh, happy day.
When Jesus wore.
When Jesus wore.
Oh, when he wore.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. We're going to be talking about the amazing overlooked health benefits of cucumbers. Rarely discussed, but very important, and how 30 minutes of reading a day could add years to your life. University of Sussex, which is in the UK. We'll also be talking about how an anti-inflammatory diet lowers your risk of depression in women by 26%, and that's the University of South Carolina, and a whole lot more on health and healing, including a new study showing what probiotics do in preventing ADHD and autism spectrum disorders. Also recently on our talkback segment, I had a woman call in who was very concerned, understandably so, that the emphasis that I was placing upon Hillary Clinton, and if we defeated Hillary, then we're left with Donald Trump. I had a chance to give a few insights. Today, I'll address her concerns, but more importantly, lay out why I'm personally very concerned about Hillary becoming president or co-president with her husband. And please take note of them. All of the things I'm going to say are completely verifiable. There is historical precedent. Now, when you add them all together, you would have to say, would it be possible to have anyone more dangerous to the well-being of the world, and especially Americans? And yes, we do have an alternative. And yes, she is a real feminist. And I'll talk about why she would be an important substitution. Also today, I'm going to deal with some other issues. For example, we never ask about where our tax dollars are spent. And yet, when it comes to looking at our roads and bridges and tunnels, our water mains and gas mains, which are all ancient and eroding, collapsing, when we look at how many people are homeless, and yet we have government office buildings that could be used, and state office buildings, city office buildings, why aren't we addressing these? We seem to have no problem allowing bureaucracies to spend our money as if there's a legitimate need. I'm going to give you just one example of how much money was spent, unaccounted for. They can't find it, not a dollar. How much is it? Just one department of government, just one area of our Defense Department, the Department of Army, cannot find any trace of $6.5 trillion. That's $1 trillion. They can't find it. No one's held accountable. So where'd it go? Who got it? No one knows. It's how we our tax dollars spent. So I'll deal with that. Also today, I'm going to continue what I consider extremely important, that we all become educated. It was recently revealed this Stuxnet, S-T-U-X-N-E-T virus. I gave you about 8 minutes yesterday. I'll give you an additional 5 or 6 minutes today on that. Then I'll give you another perspective on the same virus and why. For all these countries to say, hey, Israel, You wanted to what? You wanted to turn off all the electricity and electrical systems without them being able to reboot it in Iran? You're dealing with possibly jeopardizing the lives of 83 million people, and the vast majority are not radical believers in a theocracy. These are very moderate people. What do you think is going to happen? Iran, China, Russia, those who have the technology to do so are likely putting those in our own economy. So the next war could be the war to end all wars. It would be cyber war. And so I'm going to play you part two of this. Also today, how our politicians became glorified pimps for the weapons industry. This is an important segment here. So we have a lot to do today. And also, for those of you who would like to listen to this program every day, Monday to Friday, plus Tuesday evening, 7 to 8, over a telephone or portable listening device, we have a new number. And we have more numbers because we're maximizing the people listening. You can't believe the numbers. We believe we'll be hitting for just tomorrow. We believe we'll be hitting almost 100,000. That's 100,000 minutes in 1 hour tomorrow. The most in America. 5 in the world. So we're giving you a new number with a broader bandwidth. It cannot be broken into. 701. Please write this down. 701. 801-3662. Again, 701-801-3662. Or you can go to GaryNall.com, my Facebook page, or Progressive Radio Network, and we have other numbers as well. Now let's go to the important health benefits of something as simple as a cucumber. Most people never think of a cucumber as being healthy. It is. In every one of the detoxifications that I recommend, people who are overweight, who have cancer, who have diabetes, cucumber and celery and green apple are always the preferred juice. Now, I will add some additional spices to that depending upon if they have high blood pressure or they have had any history of heart disease or clogging of the arteries or elevated cholesterol. I'll add in some cayenne in there. Or if they have problems with digestive, I'll add in some ginger, fresh ginger juice in there as well, 1-inch piece. If they have problems with being too acidic, maybe they've had too much meat in the diet, sugar in the diet, alcohol in the diet, I'll add in the morning, especially lemon juice. If they have problems with digestion, they just don't create enough hydrochloric acid, I'll recommend a teaspoon in that juice of apple cider vinegar. So it's always something else added. But it's the 90% of the juice is cucumber and celery. It's great also for helping a person to lessen edema or excess body water retention. Now, you've all heard the notion of an apple a day can keep the doctor away. In point of fact, it's even better than that. What we now know is not the whole apple that helps, but mainly the skin. And we're talking about organic apples. And one great way to help your immune system and help your digestion, help your blood to get thinner and help your heart, is to take the skin of 4 apples and throw them in a blender, blend them up. Throw in some of your other nutrients, like some blueberries or raspberries or pomegranates. Throw in a teaspoon of flaxseed oil, a teaspoon of coconut oil, and some vitamin C. And then drink that down as a smoothie with your favorite liquid. So that's good, but we never talk about a cucumber a day. In point of fact, a cucumber a day is just as powerful as an apple a day. You just don't hear how important it is, yet it has a lot of nutrients in it. And what we now know from new research is that cucumbers and cucumber juice help reduce loss of memory, even the prevention of Alzheimer's disease. They have found that the flavanol, known as fisetin, fisetin, has the ability to ward off memory loss. In addition, they have found that cucumbers inhibit the spread of cancer. So there are many fruits and vegetables that we can choose from, but cucumbers are simply among the healthiest choices you can make. Low in calories, they have lots of good organic water in them. They're great in salads. You can put them on a sandwich, like making a cucumber, avocado, tomato, sweet onion with mustard on it sandwich, or even put some sauerkraut on top of the sweet onion. Sweet onion, tomato, a nice, this time of year, you can surely get a vine-ripened beefsteak tomato or an heirloom tomato, a whole bunch of cucumbers, thinly sliced, and then you put mustard on the tomato, and you put sauerkraut on the cucumber, and you get yourself a sandwich. Delicious sandwich. With the avocado, it's just perfect. And if you don't want to put, let's say, sauerkraut, put maybe 3 tablespoons of hummus or chickpea spread on there. Or if you don't like that, how about baba ganoush? That's good also. Or if you don't like that, how about tahini? So you see, you have numerous variables that you can use. But again, lots of cucumbers. And you have to understand that while the taste of cucumbers seem a little plain, like other members of the squash family, they really quench your thirst. They have cooling properties. For example, if you took the following for summer, for hot weather, if you juiced 3 cucumbers and 2 lemons, 1 lime, and then put some ice in there and a pinch of ginger, that makes a great cooler. You can even put some mint in there. So cucumbers are great. In fact, the Salk Institute for Biological Studies found evidence that memory loss does not have to be a natural part of aging. And, of course, memory loss, you lead right into Alzheimer's or dementia. And cucumbers, in this study, was found to help prevent the amyloid plaques, the brain proteins that are thought to be behind the development of Alzheimer's. It helps prevent that. So you've got a lot of good nutrients in cucumbers. Hydration, good for your gut. So get those in you. Now, one of the things I loved to do when I was very young is read. And I guess this came because I had a great aunt that loved to read, and she loved to read the classics. And then she would ask me, do I understand what she just read? Like she'd read a chapter and she'd say, what's this mean to you, Gary Michael? Tell me, how do you interpret this? And I don't know if I was right or wrong, but then she would correct me and give me the right answer. And I always appreciated that. So when I had my daughter, Shelley, I chose not to have a television or a radio. Didn't have any at all. Instead, every day, we would read 1 classic, and then I would ask her the same thing I had been asked. What does this mean to you? I'm talking about reading books from the great philosophers, Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, Homer, and then see her interpretation. Because that's when a child's not afraid to be wrong, and encouraging them to think and to explore their own insights, and then giving them some guidance. So reading every day has always been important to me. Even when I was so poor, I couldn't buy a book. I was living in Wheeling, West Virginia. I worked selling Cub Scout uniforms in the basement of a store called Ellis Good, and to a man who managed a Singer sewing machine company came in, and he saw me, and he said, you're young. You're working here. Why? I said, well, that's the only job I could find. He said, well, I got a job. And fixing sewing machines. I began to fix sewing machines and learn how to sew, learned also how to cut fabric and patterns. And then I would help the people who were poor up in the hollows who had trouble machines, not even electricity in their house. Yeah. But nicest people. And that's how that was the road I managed to get to New York City from that early experience. But at nighttime, after I put my daughter to bed, I would walk across the bridge. I would walk up to this little bookstore. And I asked, I said, I'm sorry I don't have enough money to buy a book, but could I just stand here and read from a book? He said, yeah. And so I'd stand there and read. So I'm a great believer that every day we should be reading. It is so empowering. This is from the University of Sussex, as well as Yale University. There was a study, and it showed that 30 minutes of reading a day could add years onto your life. Now, past studies have shown that reading books can benefit people mentally and intellectually. Now, in a new study, people who read a book for 30 minutes a day, get this, live approximately 2 years longer than those who are not reading. In previous research, just curling up with a good book has been shown to improve people's social skills by improving their ability to read the thoughts and feelings of others. And researchers at the University of Sussex in England found that reading was, quote, the most effective way to overcome stress, even better than listening to music or having a cup of tea or going for a walk. Reading has also been proven to be a great way to keep the mind sharp and can reduce mental decline by 32%. Wow. That helps prevent Alzheimer's and dementia. And so when we open up a book and we take our time and read it, we are going to benefit from it. This has all been published in the Advances in Child Development and Behavior. Quote, certainly our data demonstrate time and again that print exposure is associated with vocabulary, general knowledge, and verbal skills, even after controlling for abstract reasoning abilities. And by smarter, the researchers meant, quote, having a larger vocabulary and more world knowledge in addition to the abstract reasoning skills encompassed within the concept of intelligence, end quote. And for another study, researchers at Yale University analyzed the data on 3,635 people, and they were put into different groups, and they found that those who read the most, especially women, had the best education and the highest incomes. And also they found that those who read the most had the, quote, significant survival advantage over people who don't read books. Now, studies show why reading is healthy. Specifically, the researchers found that people who read 3.5 hours a week were 17% less likely to die from any cause over the study's 12-year period than participants who didn't read books. And this is irrelevant to your race, or depression, or employment, or marital status, or your age. This has to do with reading. Compared with those who didn't read books, those who read books were for 3.5 hours, again, were 23% less likely to die overall. So if you read up to 3.5 hours, it's 17%. If you read more than 3.5 hours, it's 23%. And a similar association was found among those who read newspapers and periodicals, but it was weaker. And the newspaper readers tacked an average 23 extra months onto their lives. So let's begin reading. I frequently post articles on my website and on my Facebook starting about 4 a.m. I like to get the best news from around the world, the best articles. Plus, we have about 1,200 of the best minds on the planet who I communicate with on a regular basis, and they get articles and I post their articles. The same for documentaries, the same for interesting, unique photographs. I think yesterday I was told we have 23,000 different photographs posted. So when a lot of people wake up in the morning, the first thing they do is they go to the Progressive Reader Network and they read the latest postings, because it gives them a different perspective than if you read the mainstream media or listen to mainstream media, which is very, very limited or biased. So we don't use any political or religious guideposts for what we do. We just look for the truth, period. That's what we post. So read more. Read in depth. Now, from the University of South Carolina, an anti-inflammatory diet lowers your risk of depression by 26%. This was a 12-year study. It was done in combination with the University of Queensland in Australia. And they found that when you start eating fruits and vegetables, drinking good juices, eating nuts like walnuts and almonds and pistachios, when you stay away from the fried food, the animal proteins, the alcohol, the sugars, you're going to have an enormous benefit of overcoming or preventing inflammation, which in itself leads to depression. Quote from the study, there have been several reports on diet and depression and inflammation and depression, but virtually nothing on inflammation, inflammatory potential of diet. And this was able to prove that, that when you eat a healthy diet, you're not going to have the same level of depression. This was published in the British Journal of Nutrition. So a healthy diet, an alkalizing diet, a plant-based vegan diet, less depression. And finally, from a good study done on our gut bacteria, it shows that the probiotics, the good bacteria in our gut, also have a gut-brain connection. And by making sure that we get our probiotics every day, this can help in children with ADD, ADHD, and autism spectrum disorder. Makes a substantial improvement in their overall health. So that's the latest on health and nutrition. I'm Gary Nall. We're going to take a break and be right back. Please stay with us. I'd like to welcome all of you from all over the world and all the stations that are carrying our program and our good friends up in Woodstock. I'll be seeing you in about, I would say, a month and a half or so. We'll be premiering a major new feature film. I'm just now in post-production finishing it up. It's a powerful film, and it's a film that should give you a lot of hope, and it's a feel-good film. You walk out of here thinking, wow, I didn't know that was possible. Yes, it is. Traveled all over the world, and you'll see what is possible. I won't say anything more than that. And but they play us every day up there, a good group of people, and we thank them, Randy and all of you, for listening in. Here are issues that involve us that we should begin to pay attention to. And this is for our Talk Back segment. First, this is from David Lindorf, an outstanding journalist in Counterpunch, a good publication. It's called The Pentagon Money Pit. I'll just give you the first two paragraphs. Quote, what if the Inspector General of the Department of Health and Human Services were to report that $6.5 billion in spending by that government agency was unaccounted for and untraceable? You can imagine the headlines, right? What if it were $65 billion? The headlines would be as big as for the first moon landing or for troops landing on Omaha Beach in World War II. But how about a report by the Pentagon's Office of Inspector General saying that the United States Army had $6.5 trillion in unaccountable, untraceable expenditures for which there is simply no paper trail? That is $6.5 trillion, or it's $6,500 billion. Probably not. You haven't heard about this. That damning report was issued on July 26. But as of today, it has not even been reported anywhere in corporate media. It's not that it's secret information or hard to come by. The report is available online at the Department of Defense's OIG website. So here is my question to the audience in a larger context. I have said many times that we need accountable government. People will say we don't want government. Well, then exactly who's going to send out the Social Security checks? Who's going to help people who go into Medicare and Medicaid funded facilities, who's going to see that our governments work? It is a small, accountable government that we do not fear, that works on our behalf, that has oversight by civilians that are not political appointees, that makes sure that we are spending what we need for the services that we require. What we have today is something completely different. We have massive, self-interested bureaucracies that you cannot question, you cannot challenge, or you're put on terrorist watch list, and they do what they want to do whenever they want, and they have unlimited amounts of money that they can spend, our money. And yet think of the people who would benefit if we chose to put our money, taxpayer money, instead of creating wars, in rebuilding communities, in providing quality education, instead of privatizing everything. And so my issue is virtually every government bureaucracy is engaged in similar problems of accountability, redundancy, because there's a culture in Washington and Virginia where hundreds of thousands of companies, large and small, and millions of people throughout the country benefit when they can buy legislators, they can buy generals, admirals, joint chiefs of staff, they can have lobbyists galore, and they control Washington, every part of it. And then the think tanks control Washington's policies, domestic and foreign. All of this to their betterment and to our detriment. I'm concerned, and the American media doesn't even touch the story. We have agencies that are out of control. The FDA, out of control, heavily influenced by special interests, pharmaceutical interests, who actually sit on their advisory boards passing judgment on drugs that have not been proven by independent science as safe and effective, but are green light given because over 55% of the people sitting on FDA boards come from industries. The CDC, that has been shown and proven recently by one of the people who was engaged in corruption, a Dr. Thompson, and you've heard his voice on this program saying, you know, that they falsified evidence. They had a 324% increase in autism spectrum disorder in African-American boys 36 months and younger, and yet they continued to hide that, continued to say there was no connection between vaccines or any of their ingredients and autism. They lied. We have four separate proofs they lied, and yet no one's been held accountable, no investigations, no congressional hearings. So they're out of control. Our national defense agencies out of control. Our spy agencies out of control. Our industries that should be promoting clean energy are promoting clean coal. It does not exist, and it's an oxymoron. And nuclear, dangerous in the extreme. So I'm merely asking people to be responsible and reasonable and step up and see what we as citizens can do to have government that works for the people in a non-political way and to protect our commons, to protect our water, to protect our air, to protect all the things that we worked so hard in the 1960s, led by Ralph Nader and Dr. Sidney Wolf and Michael Jacobson, and others, Jim Turner. They helped lead a whole movement to take back rights that the corporations had stolen so we could have these clean environments, safe environments. Your thoughts, 888-874-4888. And finally, before we go to our guest, to the woman who called in, you said we only have Hillary Clinton, and if we don't, much like Noam Chomsky, who I agree with on so many things, and I have enormous amount of respect, and this does not in any way lessen my respect for him, but he's suggesting we go with the lesser of two evils. I don't believe we should ever have to go with lesser of two evils. I believe that if we go with the person most qualified, even if they don't win, they've established a platform that we then, those of us who are true progressives, can use to get people elected to local committees, local councils, to state governmental agencies who will take a vow never to meet with an American Legislative Exchange ALEC member to be given bills that represent 250 corporations but not the citizens of a state making laws. They've done over 25,000 of those laws. They should all be repealed. That's how you get change started. You have to have a foundational system. You have to be patient. I had a conversation with Chris Hedges recently and also a few other people who said it's going to take 10 to 15 years if we're consistent and we work together to be able to reverse the systems that we have. And so that's why I wanted to be concerned about Hillary Clinton, because when you get Hillary, you get her husband. When we elected Bill, we got Hillary. She was the dominant person in that. Just read the books, the Secret Service agents. See what her temperament's really about. I was told by a neurologist that when you get really angry and you go from anger to screaming, where you're rageful, you're out of control, you really risk creating micro strokes, tiny little strokes that you may not notice, but in time, the effects are cumulative. And the question then is, what happens when one day you're about the tip? You have so many strokes, like having your arteries just so clogged. You got away with eating junk food, or your lungs. You got away with smoking 2 packs a day for 25 years, or alcohol. You got away with drinking. And then one day the liver simply doesn't function the way it's supposed to, or your kidneys, or your lungs, or your brain. Now put all those together, and you've got Hillary Clinton, and I'm concerned. But first, before I'm concerned about her mental and physical health to guide our country, I'm concerned about what she represents. This has nothing to do with her personality, has nothing to do with her basic nature. This is what she's actually done. First, she has supported Wall Street. She supported and was one of the architects behind the Glass-Steagall Act that allowed them to get into derivatives and become a casino capitalism group down on Wall Street. She supported the different selections, including Lawrence Summers, who is a person that I would never take any economic advice from. So she's not going to rein in Wall Street, not at all. She will allow Wall Street to guide itself. She refused to repeal the Glass-Steagall Act. She supported for the last at least 10 years the Trans-Pacific Partnership and the TTIP. And also, this is connected with the Clinton Foundation and her seeking the favor, the quid pro quo, between corporate hegemony and our democracy. Look who gave her big lecture fees, her and her husband. Look who gave money to her foundation. The very companies that would benefit from TPP and the TTIP. Now, we have the actual emails. Separate occasions in different countries, she was promoting through these companies without ever mentioning to the American public. It was kept in secret. What kind of person who talks about openness and transparency does everything in secret, and then when they're caught, and then says, oh, I will reconsider that. Remember, it was her and her husband who gave us NAFTA. And how'd that work out? Ask the unions that lost membership and those jobs because of that deal. She is not at all progressive on any issue. She does not support living wage. She only supports a minimum wage. She does not support single-payer health care, which we should have. Any civilized society would. Look over the last 20 years. In 14 of the last 20 years, the number one cause of bankruptcy was medical bills. We shouldn't be putting people into a medical environment where they could go bankrupt. We should be putting them into a medical environment that, A, eliminates. I want to share this because it's important. This is my own personal and subjective view. I believe that we put doctors today in an impossible situation. First, we should pay for their entire medical education. But then we should give them a real living wage. We should not allow them torturous hours and demeanor in internship and residency. They should be paid day one out of medical school a living, real living wage based upon the last 5 years of that profession, whether it's internal medicine or surgery, so they make a living. In return, everything is free. You take the profit out of medicine. I also believe that you should eliminate all malpractice suits. If someone is injured, someone is damaged, someone is treated improperly, that would be covered by an independent fund that comes from the medical establishment. You also get rid of the bureaucracy, which this year will absorb over $1.1 trillion of the $3.5 trillion we're spending this year. You also would be able to, medical schools, change the curriculum, get the pharmaceutical industry out as the only provider of most of the curriculums, and they chair their departments. Therefore, the people who support a pharmaceutical approach to disease are not the only ones, because you've eliminated that. Instead, you have people exposed to oriental medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, and natural medicines, in addition to anything else that can be proven by independent science and not the company selling us something, that it works and is safe and effective. And then allow quality time with a physician. Then see how many more people are alive after that. She doesn't support any of that. She does not support legalization of marijuana. We know that the cannabinoids are an extraordinarily beneficial ingredient, properly given, medically given, for brain cancer, for lung cancer, for seizures. And yet she's against that. She does not want to let people who've committed crimes, drug crimes, like owning or possession of any illegal drug, she wants them to stay in prison. She wants more people in prison. Could it be because one of her biggest financial bundlers is the largest private prison system in America? She was against gay marriage and gay rights, and her husband passed the Defense of Marriage Act, where she has said on many occasions, marriage is between a man and woman. But now, when she sees that the younger people are going for Bernie and his belief in gay rights, then she switches over. She favors charter schools, which are public profit centers, rather than redoing the traditional school. Could it be because of Rahm Emanuel, and she's a close friend? She is not a true feminist. In fact, she was a thorn for feminists who covered up Bill Clinton's sexual relationships, as did some of her friends. Today's feminists feel both men and women should play by the rules, and Hillary sees herself as superior to the rules that don't apply to her and her group. And also, she was the first woman on Walmart's board of directors when the company was under a lot of criticism for gender inequality. She did not fight that. For poor treatment of women, she did not fight that. For exploiting women in other countries to make cheap products at not even a survival level for Walmart clothes, she did not support that, meaning she did not fight against that. She was on board. And in fact, she was on the board when the largest sexual discrimination case in history was filed and thrown out of Supreme Court. Walmart, quote, is too big to sue. And she supported Walmart. Also, contrary to her posing herself as a friend of unions, it's a complete contradiction. Look at the corporations and look at the Wall Street people that support her, and they're all anti-union. She still thinks the Patriot Act is a good idea, which strips away our civil liberties and grants unconstitutional rights to the National Security Agency. She believes it's perfectly acceptable that every phone, every email, every electronic device be monitored and the information captured, not just your name and address, but the actual conversations. They have cataloged. Now they've analyzed the catalogs, and they put catalogs together by behavioralists to determine whether or not you represent a person that is a threat. She has never criticized the drone program or the executive assassination policy that the president can assassinate anyone for any reason without any due process at all. She believes we should increase domestic and global surveillance, and she does not believe in campaign reform. She believes Russia and terrorism are our number one threats, not global warming, not climate change. She supports nuclear energy. She supports clean coal. She supports GMO crops. She supports that we should not have any labeling of food, so we don't know its origin. Supports the neocon from dominance of U.S. global military hegemony. She believes in wars everywhere. She would expand the 900 military bases around the world. She is the ultimate war hawk. The war on terrorism would remain the center of her defense policy. She would do more regime change. She was center to the regime change in Honduras, and she was the one personally responsible for promoting and advocating the war in Gaddafi's Libya. She's the darling of AIPAC, support Israel's apartheid regime. She is pro-Saudi Arabia. She does not ever criticize women being abused, beaten, and recently three women stoned to death because they were raped. So for being raped in Saudi Arabia, you are killed by the official Iranian government, or the Saudi Arabian government. She has not criticized Saudi Arabia destroying the poorest little nation in the Middle East, Yemen. She has not criticized them for sponsoring terrorism, including of al-Nusra and ISIL. She is a pro-nuclear weapon. She wants even more nuclear weapons and says she'll use them. She is wants a new Cold War, demonizing Russia that is not the problem. And also, remember what she did. She says she's for blacks and Latinos. Well, she increased the federal and state prison inmate to the highest level in history. She created the three strikes law in 1994. She gave an additional $30 billion, the largest amount ever given in American history, as a part of creating new federal capital crimes and mandating life sentences and dozens of new federal programs. She gave state prison grants, partnering with welfare money. So the state got welfare money and the people went to prison. She is not for women because in 1996, they had more money going to prisons, private prisons also, than they had food stamps by twice. And her reform bill slashed welfare funding by $54 billion, leading to at least 1.5 million Americans, predominantly African Americans, being in absolute abject poverty. She slashed public housing by 61%. She increased prison and correction spending by 171%. She eliminated the Pell education grants for prisoners. She signed legislation that imposed lifetime bans on welfare and food stamps for anyone convicted of a felony drug offense. So when you say that we only have her and why should I be against it, those are just some of the reasons. I believe she would be the most dangerous president in American history. And we have Jill Stein. And Jill is opposite everything that Hillary Clinton is for. Let us begin to be reasonable and responsible. Even if Jill loses, at least we have a foundation with platforms and programs that can go forward. From our environmental segment today, there's a new report from Climate News Network, and it says, the Mediterranean, we're talking about the entire Mediterranean, may be the driest for 900 years. Quote, the drought that has blighted the eastern Mediterranean could be the worst in 900 years, according to new research led by scientists, U.S. Space Agency, NASA. And it was published in the Journal of Geophysical Research Atmosphere. And they're saying, this is bad. Well, it's bad. But it also means it's not going to get better. What that means is that we're going to see enormous suffering because of lack of water and then extreme heat, because when you have high levels of heat, you also then aren't able to grow things. Seeds will not germinate. And if you should be fortunate enough to germinate something, the sun at over 140 degrees will bake it out. It'll kill it. So what are you going to do to feed those hundreds of millions, in fact, over a billion people in the eastern Mediterranean and the African heartland that is dry, especially in northern Africa? I believe it's a problem that is not being addressed, and we should make it important. Also from our environment, we have this, and that is the connection between global warming and waste recycling. Zero waste is a solution towards a new type of society. In our current society, everything is commodified, commercialized. We're encouraged by every type of means, including very seductive ads on radio and television, to buy things. We're told that if we buy a hot car, a red car, a convertible, but we end up with the debt. They make everything seem like we really are out of the loop of social consciousness if we don't buy stuff. The trouble is we have bought too much stuff. We buy too much food and we waste over a third of it. We buy clothes that we don't need and frequently are made in countries that exploit their labor in order for us to do this. And that's unfortunate. So why don't we just exhale for a moment and then ask ourselves, could we go to zero waste? And that would impact climate change. Well, we know by getting off meat and all animal proteins, that will definitely improve climate change by almost 18%. What else could we do? Well, we could stop buying what we don't need and appreciate and reuse what we do. And so we're not up to the standard of everyone else of having everything absolutely new, every gimmick. So what? We don't need it in the first place. So let's stop buying. Go on a moratorium of buying, and that helps. That'll make a big difference. Add that to going vegan, and we've done a lot of good. Now, another thing from our environment segment. This is from Dar Jamal of Truth Out. Climate disruption's new record, highest point in 15 million years. Wow. That means that more ice is melting in the Arctic, more ice is melting in the Himalayas, more ice is melting the snowpack in the Colorados and the Rockies and the high glaciers. Well, that water is supposed to melt over about a six-month period, starting in the spring, and then it melts right through until the fall. That water then fills up our aquifers and streams and tributaries. It allows farmers to use that water for irrigating crops. But now, because it's so hot, the temperatures are so elevated that it's melting all that snowpack and ice too fast. And so we're getting torrential flooding that doesn't help anyone. And we're getting flooding of fields and seed beds are washed out. And then it goes to drought. So you go from flooding to drought. And that's causing massive loss of agriculture. So according to Dar Jamal's satellite data now shows we're witnessing a very rapid acceleration in global sea level rise. In the last 6 years, oceans have risen by 5 millimeters per year, which is a rate not seen since the end of the last ice age, and it's getting worse. One of the most alarming indicators of ever-accelerating anthropogenic climate disruption is the fact that atmospheric carbon dioxide, just this past winter, reached a level not seen on the planet in 15 million years. Well, thanks to humans, the Earth was, since the 1990s, already experiencing atmospheric carbon dioxide levels in a realm not experienced on the planet since the Pliocene epoch, which was the period 2.6 to 5.3 million years ago that saw atmospheric carbon dioxide levels reach 350 to 405 parts per million, an average global temperatures that ranged 2 to 3 degrees Celsius warmer than the climate in the 1880s. So we are really in bad shape, and it's getting worse. Why aren't we having a national discussion about this? Why aren't we looking at what is the best way we as a world could help the Earth, could understand the effects of extreme weather, and how to take people out of these harm areas where they have global flooding, where they have excessive drought, where they had the acidification of the oceans and ponds, eutrophications of ponds, acid rain. All of these things are hitting us. Not a word about it. You think, okay, in the Northeast Pacific Ocean, millions of starfish just went down and died. Why? Why are whales and porpoises beaching themselves and dying? We're not looking for the answers. We're not discussing this. So we're looking at accelerated global warming. We're seeing the fires. We're seeing the fires. It's the worst fires in every state's history. But we don't think it's important. It is. We have to do something. So to take away message is Let's all become environmentally conscious. Let's work together. See what we can do to diminish our own and our own ability to slow down wherever possible warming. Now, let's finish off our program by listening to the remainder of what we started yesterday on the Stuxnet virus.
For centrifuges spinning out of control?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's multiple safeguards. But Stuxnet gets around those. Stuxnet's pretty smart.
It gave a fake readout to say, it's running at the normal speed, boss. It's not doing anything it's not supposed to. You've programmed it to do something. It's doing it, and you can look at your screen and see it's doing it correctly. And unknown to you, the motor is spinning twice as fast and damaging your centrifuge.
So Stuxnet tricks the computer into thinking that everything is just fine. But people work at those plants too. People with eyes and ears.
The noise alone would be very abnormal, be extremely loud. And there'd be someone in the control room who would literally hear something going wrong. And they have a big red button, literally, to shut down the system. And Stuxnet would hijack that. So they would hit that big red button, Stuxnet would go, sorry, I'm running, and totally ignore the fact that the shutdown sequence has been initiated.
Workers would have to just sit helplessly by as the enrichment process fell apart before their eyes. The story of Stuxnet turned out to be the first salvo in a new kind of war. It's a war that doesn't require standing armies or multi-million dollar fighter jets.
Cyber war? I need a room full of computers. 20 to 30 people. How are you going to tell this from any other office building with a server room and 30 programmers?
There is a veil of anonymity in cyberspace. It is very hard to detect and track, and then, of course, to disrupt your adversaries.
To better understand the impact of Stuxnet on the future of warfare, we visited the Naval Postgraduate School to talk with Professor John R. Quilla. He's a former advisor to Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, and he's the man who coined the term cyber war.
Ballistic missiles come with return addresses. That's pretty easy. This is very, very different.
Arquilla is worried that the next time a Stuxnet hits, it'll attack our infrastructure.
Maybe it doesn't have to be a centrifuge. It could be the automatic controls on an oil pipeline. It could be something that regulates a dam or a nuclear reactor. And the fact that a policy choice was made somewhere to do this, to engage in this kind of attack against another, says that it's open season now.
A big downside of a cyber weapon is that once you attack someone with it, their programmers now have the code.
Now the Iranians possess that weapon and can perhaps re-engineer it.
It's a legitimate fear. A survey by McAfee, a large cybersecurity company, supported the idea that militaries in several countries have done reconnaissance and planning for cyber attacks, mapping the underlying network infrastructure and locating vulnerabilities for future attack. They talked to executives from the energy, oil, gas, and water sectors about cyber risks in their companies. 85% of them detected some network infiltration in their systems.
It's an arms race, and it seems to be a never-ending arms race, and it probably will be a never-ending arms race.
With tens of thousands of new cyber threats appearing every day, it's likely that the long nights Eric Chen spent on Stuxnet will not be his last.
Every time we put new types of protection in place, attackers attempt to try to get around that. And when they do that, we then try to defeat them. It's back and forth, and it's cat and mouse for sure.
You too can embark on a top secret mission to disable a covert nuclear program. Play the role of Stuxnet in an interactive game you'll find on the Need to Know site.
And there you have just more information. Tomorrow we have a really unique program lined up. For the full hour, my guest will be John Michael Greer, philosopher, historian, and we're going to talk about the world we live in and how we're actually entering in the United States a new dark age, a stage in the cycle that all empires in history ultimately confront during their demise. Powerful show tomorrow at noon. Have a nice day, everyone.